I'll trust that was of the Lord. Anyhow, I struggled for this last week trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go next, what series I'm going to go into, which happens a lot when I'm starting a new series. And I was really kind of, you know, struggling with it because I don't want to just bring messages. I want to hear from God. I want to know, what does the Father have to say to this body? And I've been in a series now for 10 weeks and had made the decision, you know, I was going to start a new series. And so I found myself on my face, literally in my living room, just saying, Lord, I thank you for revealing to me now what you once said to this body. And I would just sit there quietly, just listening to the Lord, listening for him to speak to me, confident that he'll speak to me, as he always has, and he leads me. For some reason, it seems to be right about Saturday night that he finally gets it through to me. I don't know what's going on there, but anyhow, Friday, I was getting a little bit stressed because I hadn't gotten it yet. And I'm like, Lord, not again. I don't want to go to Saturday night and then get it and then, you know, start preparing, you know. And so I'm just hanging out before the Lord. I'm on my face in my living room just praying. And I found myself, my mind started going towards this walking in the Spirit that I've been teaching on and other things that I wished I had said. And I hope they got that point. I hope they made those connections. And, you know, I was going down that and I was like, oh, yeah, let's get back to what I'm supposed to be doing. Lord, I just thank you for leading me, showing me now what you want me to teach on. And then I found myself going there again. And then I just gave up and I'd get up and I'd sit in my chair, but not in a bad way. Just like, okay, I mean, he heard me. I didn't get it then. I'll get it. And I just got my Bible, started reading and everything. And then I started thinking about this one book I've been wanting to read. I'm going to get on that. I started reading it and it's starting to talk about walking in the Spirit. And I was really getting into it. I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. You know, and then I'm like, okay, I need to get back to praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me studying on? You know, and got before the Lord. And it took me about 7 or 8 trips around this mountain. One time I was on my face, quiet, just listening. My mind's going into this walking in the Spirit thing. And I was like, man, I keep doing this. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Is this you? Are you? And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. I'm changing, all right? And I started thinking about, why is it that I'm changing gears? Why did I decide that I'm moving on? And it hit me. It was like the Lord was saying, why do you think you need to change? And it hit me. I know exactly why I decided to change. Because I had done 10 weeks on this series. And I remember looking at it online, part 10. I was like, man. And I made the decision then, that's too much, I need to move on. And I realized when I was doing this with the Lord about that one time, I was like, I felt like the Lord was saying, why did you feel like you need to move on? And I realized, I decided because of number 10. And I was, you know what I'm saying? I felt like, I've been too long, they're not going to want to hear any more about this, I've said enough about it, I need to move on. And the Lord's like, I didn't say anything about moving on. You came up with that on your own because you saw the number 10. 10 just seemed like too much and you wanted to make... So anyhow, we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit this morning. Number 11. Oh, praise God. All right. And so then, you know, because I've been kind of on this for a couple of days and kept going off on these different thoughts, I realize now I almost literally have, I feel like too much. And been trying to narrow down where I was going to go with this today, so I'm just going to let her rip. Let me tell you this. This is one of the thoughts that I had while staying before the Lord and asking him where I'm supposed to be going. All of a sudden, I start getting this. I'm like, yeah, Lord. Oh, I hope they got that. You know, let me just share this with you. I could just as well name this series different things. Just as well. Would have been just as fitting to name this series The Love Walk. Just change that in your mind. When you watch that, when you look at all those Walking in the Spirit Part 1, Walking in the Spirit Part 2, you could just as well name it The Love Walk Part 1, The Love Walk Part 2, The Love Walk Part 3. I could also just as well name this series Being Spiritually Minded. I could have named the series being word-minded. I could have named the series Doing the Will of God. All of these are the same. So just know that. Know that this is the love walk that I'm talking about when I talk about walking in the Spirit. Understand this, please. I trust that you do, but I'm just going to press into this. I really want to press into this. You are different than you were before you accepted Christ into your life. You are literally a different being. You didn't sign up to a religious organization and accept a membership. You didn't say, okay, yes, I'm signing up. I've joined an organization. That's not what happened. You committed your life, and I committed my life to a Lord of the who is the creator of the universe, the most powerful being in existence. We committed our life to him, and as a result of that, he literally changed your and my nature. Changed it. It literally happened. Mine happened on July 17th, 1983, at about 8 o'clock in the evening. My nature was changed. And mine happened to be so radical that it's easy for me to explain, whereas for some people, it wasn't that radical. It's more difficult for them to identify in their mind a definitive change, you know, in a day, and I realize that. But nonetheless, if at any point in your life you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you literally are not the same person. You're a brand new nature. This is so incredible that a person can be born again and walk as a born-again child of God for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years and see very little change in their life, because it's so radical that it's difficult to grasp, to believe. And therefore, we believe nothing really radical happened. It's too radical, so we cast it off. We just go on about life. We believe we're saved, but we don't necessarily believe that something very radical happened. We don't believe necessarily what the Bible teaches what happened, and that is that we are brand new, a new creation altogether. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. An original formation is the Greek word, a new original formation. One that never existed before. Your nature is of the God class. It is no longer of this world. It's of the God class. That's literally what's on the inside of you and me. I am of the God class. For me to act different than that is for me to suppress who I really am and to act out of my flesh. But I am the God class. I am no longer of this world. I was created by a being from outside of this world. He says, though you are in this world, you are no longer of this world. As a result of the nature of God that's on the inside of me, if I choose to believe what is real and act out of that belief, my flesh, only then, as an act, and I loved what Andy kept emphasizing about his will, and he kept saying, as an act of my will, and I was like, go, Andy, go. I mean, that's it. It's a choice. He's choosing to believe Mark 11:24. It's a choice he's making. He's saying, I choose to believe this. That is exactly what we must do in at every step and every stage along the way. We must choose to believe that what God says about us is real and then act out of that belief. If we do that, here's what I've been trying to say for 10 weeks. If we do that, what happens is, you remember the picture? I had the pictures up there of the body with blue on the inside, red outside of that, and then a black line on the outside of that. The blue represents the spirit. The red represents the soul, and the black represents the body. The red and the black together, which is the soul and the body together, is called the what? The flesh. So to make it very simple, you have the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is made up of your soul and your body. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body makes up what the Bible calls the flesh. We were born again of the spirit. We were not born again of the body or of the soul. Those were not made new. They were just like they were before you got born again. What God has called us to is to change our soul and our body, to change our flesh by the incredible, powerful gift that He put on the inside of us. God could have chosen that when we got born again, everything was changed, spirit, soul, and body, and we would instantaneously become like Jesus. I mean, exactly like Him, instantaneously. However, God chose, for whatever reason, not to do that. And He said, I will change only your spirit, and now I want you to participate with me in changing your flesh. We have a participation. This is an act of the will. But because many of us don't really believe what happened, or out of laziness, or probably any number of other motivations, we don't step into the participation part that God has called us to. I believe another reason we don't do it is because we don't really believe in the transformation process. Let me ask you this question. How many of you here truly want, like deep within your being, your soul, your heart cries out, I want to please God with my life? You really want to please God. You want to be pleasing to God with your life. To please God is to do His will, right? That's what pleases God, to do His will. Can anyone tell me what is the overarching will of God for your life? What's that? Yes, that would be what I've termed reconciliation. To be reconciled to the Father is not just to get born again. You walk right through the doorway of reconciliation when you get born again. Now you've entered into the kingdom of reconciliation. It's an ongoing process that should go on for the rest of your life of being reconciled to the Father. I can call up a friend that I've been at odds with, say what needs to be said to bring reconciliation to the relationship, hang up the phone, and we are now reconciled, right? I ask forgiveness. What I did was so wrong, and it was stupid, or whatever I need to say, please forgive me. I will endeavor to never do that again. I really want our friendship, you know, whatever. And the person says, thank you. I've received that. That's so gracious of you. Consider it forgiven. It's over and forgotten. Great. We are now, if it's real, we are now reconciled. But is the idea that I then never talk to them again and never have anything to do with them again? Or is the point of that reconciliation that we now continue to grow in that relationship and continue to get to know one another? This is how it is with the Father. We give our life to God, and in that, when we give our life to Him, we call upon the name of His Son, and His blood washes us, and as a result, and that happens because we say we want to be with Him, God breathes His Spirit into us, and we are reconciled to the Father. We are one with Him. But that's just the beginning. Now He's like, get to know me. I want you to know who I really am. I want you to know how much I love you. My first pastor, when I first got born again 30 years ago, said it used to trouble him, the idea of eternity. There was a time where he went through months where it really plagued him, this idea of eternity, how long that was going to be. I mean, think about eternity. Your mind starts to short circuit when you try and think about it. I mean, you've been alive for 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years, whatever. The United States has been around for 200 plus years, right? Man has been on the earth for 6,000 years. All of these numbers are, they haven't even gotten onto the scale yet when it comes to eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. Imagine living 1,000 years and you've only just begun, and 10,000 more years, and 100,000 years, you're still living. I mean, it gets exhausting. Just thinking about it. Seriously? 100,000 years? Lord, can I just go to sleep or something? I mean, I get it. He started talking about this. I'm like, I'm getting tired just thinking about it too, you know? He started talking to the Lord about, Lord, really? Eternity? Forever? And it was really bothering him. And then he asked the Lord, why eternity? And then the Lord spoke to him finally, after months of wrestling with this, the Lord spoke to him and said, because it will take me that long to show you how much I love you. And then after he said that, I read in Ephesians, sometime shortly after that, a verse that says exactly that. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Here's why. So that in the ages to come, you get the foreverness of that? In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. For ages and ages, he will be showing forth his goodness and his kindness towards us. I was struggling with something really heavy, and something that I'd left when I got saved, and I wasn't going to be, living that lifestyle anymore. And I was kind of struggling, like, man, is this going to be, fun to be a Christian, because I was, a major partier, and, I had all this party life going. And, first, when I got saved, I was radically saved and super excited about it. But a year later, I just started kind of looking back at Egypt a little bit. And I started struggling about, all that good straw that I used to eat, I don't know if y'all got that, but I started thinking about this, Lord, never again, I was kind of struggling a little bit. I was in my car driving from an airport in Jacksonville, Florida to my apartment, and in certain parts in Jacksonville, you get on these stretches that are just there's nothing for as far as the eye can see. And I was on this long, dark highway. It was dark at night. The only light that lit the road was the headlights of my car. They don't even put lights out there, out in the middle of no man's land. This airport was built out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm driving home. I just dropped a friend off. I'm driving home, and I'm just struggling with this, talking to the Lord about it. And then I sensed the glory of God coming into my car so heavy, I was like, whoa, what's going on, And it started getting so thick, and then the next thing I knew, I was gone. I wasn't in my car anymore. Complete out-of-body experience, caught up into his presence with God, and all I can tell you is that the best way I can think to describe it, because I've tried to describe this over the years, is that every single cell of my body was filled up with love and joy, and I was like, I was completely drunk in joy and love. I was completely wrapped up in the Father's arms, full of God. I was every cell was just saturated, complete and utter saturation of joy and love was just wrapped all around me, soaked me up, you know. Oh, it was incredible. And I'm thinking about whether I was going to tell you what I said to him or not. It was just incredible. I was like, all right, I get it. Everything on earth was like a beggar eating food out of a trash can and thinking that this was good. All the good, that the best that earth had to offer me, now in contrast, and it's exactly what the Bible calls it. The Bible talks about the beggarly elements of this world. That's what it means. It's saying in comparison to heaven, everything, the best thing you can think of that earth has to offer, it's good. I'm not saying it's not good. God gave it to us. It's good. Compared to heaven, it's the beggar's elements. It's just like the people you see downtown reaching into trash cans. They're in their filthy clothes. They're reaching into the trash cans looking for food to eat. That's what it will be like in comparison when we're in heaven. We'll realize how nasty this world was in comparison. That's what happened to me. I was delivered from the concern anymore. And ever since then, I've just been hungry for heaven, hungry to be there. That experience with God is an experience He actually wants us to grow more closer to. Just like getting closer to the sun, you get warmer and warmer. God wants us to be reconciled to Him in a way of knowing Him intimately. He doesn't expect us to just go on about life and just show up on the church on Sundays and praise Him for an hour. That's all beautiful. That's part of it. But He wants us to do that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. It's in the knowledge of God that grace is poured out on us. Like Don gave that word about waves of grace. That happens only one way. Spending time with the ocean. God. He's the grace. He's the source of it. He's the fountain of life. Jeremiah tells us, the fountain of life, the fountain, you know, water pouring out. It's like pouring out. God's the fountain of it. We have to go to Him if we want a taste of life. That's part of God's will, that we would get to know Him personally. What's the next thing? There's three things that make up the overarching will of God for your and my life. Reconciliation. What's the next one? Transformation and duplication. If you want to be pleasing to the Lord in your life, to do that, we must fulfill His will. His will is for you. When we say, wow, fulfilling His will, it sounds like work. His will is for you to be abundantly blessed. That's His will. So He tells you how to do it. So if you want to please Him, do what He says to do, which is to bless you. I wrote on my wall one time, to do your will is to bless myself. That's literally what it is. To do God's will is to bless yourself. God says, don't do this. Well, that seems restrictive. No, I trust you. Trust me. To do it, you'll bless yourself. It's a blessing, even if it may not look like it's a blessing. Like tithing. Wow, that seems kind of like, well, I got to give up 10%. No, if it's God's will, which it is, do it, and it will be a blessing to you. God doesn't need your money. I don't know if you know that. His driveway is paved with pure gold. He doesn't need your or my money. He's doing it for our sake. He's saying, listen, money is a beautiful thing, but it will be used against you if you don't know how to work with it. Here's how you break the back of the enemy from using money against you and to sow seeds of greed and covetousness in your life. I want you to commit 10% of it to me. By doing that, you make me the Lord over your finances. Now I move into your life and I will bless you financially, and you keep giving me 10% of it, which keeps that covetousness broken. It keeps a hedge of protection around your finances. You know, there's so much involved in it. I'm going to be teaching on that at some point about tithing. There's so much to tithing. It's spiritual, it's psychological, it's emotional, it's all wrapped in there. Just do it. Do God's will. Here's the awesome thing about God too, about his word. You don't even have to understand it. Just do what he says to do and you'll begin to receive the benefits of it. Then as you grow in revelation, it just becomes more exciting. It's like, ooh, I get why I'm doing this, but the blessings will flow anyhow. Apart from it. When I first time I tithed, God spoke to me and said, tithe. 20 minutes later, my brother walks into the bathroom, I'm brushing my teeth, and he said, I think the Lord just told me we're supposed to be tithing. I said, yeah, that was God. And then an hour later, I go into my office, and a friend of mine, his name was Greg Lesher, I'd been talking about tithing. He says the word to me, didn't you talk to me a long time ago about tithing? I think we're supposed to tithe. And I'm like, yeah, Greg, we're supposed to tithe. 2 hours later, I drive to L.A., I knock on the door, my friend Kiki opens the door, I walk through the door, her and her husband are there, come here, we need to talk to you about something. Remember a long time ago you were talking to us about tithing? You know, and what do you think? Do you think we should tithe? I'm, yeah, Kiki, I think you guys should tithe. The Lord spoke to me three times after he spoke to me, tithe, and I'm freaking out, I'm trembling about this concept of tithing. In his graciousness, he confirmed it three times in a period of a couple hours. And I said, I came back home, got on my knees, because I didn't commit it to him when he first said it to me. I was too afraid. I got on my knees and I said, I commit to you for the rest of my life. Every dollar that comes into my life, the first dime is yours. The next 2 weeks, my business exploded and produced more than it ever had in the greatest 2 months combined at any point in history of my business. The next 2 weeks rocked it, and then it didn't stop. And 11 months later, I started out $70,000 in debt. 11 months later, I was completely out of debt, went on a national syndicated program. They wanted to interview me. What happened to my business? It was so incredible. I didn't even understand anything about tithing. But I stepped into the river of its blessing just when I obeyed it. You don't even have to understand it. Just obey it. The understanding's a blessing. But God doesn't require you to understand it. He just says, just do what I tell you to do and the blessings are there. When you obey God, what you do is you step into agreement. It's the Greek word for agreement is to be one with. To be in agreement, one with the Father, you step into his flow of blessing. Submission is a command from heaven. When you step into submission to authority over you, you step into God's flow. When you step outside of that, you are outside of his flow and his protection, and you're open to whatever comes your way. On and on and on it goes. Reconciliation. If we seek the Lord, you are doing his will, and it's all for you, and it's all for me. Your life gets blessed, blessed, blessed as you get to know him. Blessed. It's the greatest thing to spend your energy on. Just maybe get rid of one thing out of your life and replace that with, that's the time I'm going to spend with the Lord, and watch what happens. The other one is transformation. What I've been talking about walking in the Spirit is the transformation process. How does the transformation happen? It doesn't just happen. We have a part to play in it. Now listen, if you do none of this, God loves you just the same. Doesn't change anything about God's love towards you. This is all about how much you will love God. This is all about how much you and I will experience God in our life. It's all for us. He's trying to bless us, but it's way beyond us. He wants to bless the world. He wants the world to see him, and the only way they're going to see him is through you. That's where they're going to see Jesus. So God's like, please be transformed. Take my transformation process. Be transformed, because then the world will be attracted to you, because they will be attracted to me when they see the real me. I want them to see the real me through you. They will be attracted to you, and then you will be able to lead them to me, which is the duplication process. You can't do that if you don't know how. You have to know how to share properly, Christ with someone, mainly it's a heart attitude. Just love them. Don't condemn them. God is not imputing the world's trespasses to them anymore. That issue, the issue of sin, is no longer an issue with the Father. He dealt with it on the cross. He is not imputing men's trespasses to them anymore. So who are we to go out and impute their trespasses to them? God says, you're not representing me. That's an insult to my work, of my son's work on the cross. We're done with it. I would like for you to be done with it too. Now just tell them about my goodness. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them that hell awaits them if they don't accept my forgiveness. Absolutely. It's not like you don't tell them the result of rejecting Christ, but we don't do that in a way of condemning them. We're saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to the Father. That's our message. Because if you don't, hell awaits you. Your rejection of God, hell awaits you. Don't go there. Be reconciled to the Father. He loves you. Your sins are not an issue. He's already dealt with it. But you have to receive that forgiveness. He offers it to you as a gift, but you have to receive it. He's not going to force it on you. You have to receive it. Will you receive Christ into your life? That's it. I mean, that's the whole message right there. You do it with a heart of love. You tell them what the real message is. They accept Christ. Now you're also pleasing the Father because you're introducing other people to Him. Reconciliation, being reconciled to the Father. Transformation, being transformed through the walking in the Spirit process or the love walk process, and duplication, leading other people to Christ. So let me back up now into the transformation. The transformation process is what I've been talking about for the last 10 weeks. It is this. God's Spirit is on the inside of you and me. His nature. We are literally like God. I mean, exactly like God. It's not similar. God dwells on the inside of me. That's who I am. I am in the God class. I am of the family of God. Royal blood flows through my veins. Exactly that. As He is, so am I in this world. I would love it if you would just say that right now. Say that I want you to say something else. I am of the God class.
I am of the God class.
My nature is God's nature. I love always.
I am long-suffering.
I am kind.
Always.
I am always kind.
I am always, 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 always kind.
That's who you are. I mean, you really are. You're always kind, 100% of the time. There's no exception. Ever, 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 ever. Now, if you behave contrary to that, you are acting out of your flesh and not who you really are. You literally have to play the role of a hypocrite. Amen. To be unkind.
That's right.
I mean, literally, you have to play someone else because it's not who you are. It's when we get that, that we will live that. We have to realize that. Now, let me talk to you for the last 2 minutes that I have here. How to do that. It's the whole nutshell of what I've been saying for 10 weeks. When the opportunity arises, which will happen about 17 times a day, for some people, maybe more given to their emotions, it might happen 147 times a day. You're in somewhere in there. Every time the event happens, an event, someone says something to you, whatever, you have a choice, an act of your will. I will act like who I really am, or I will give to the impulses of my flesh. Which will it be? If I choose as an act of my will to act like who I really am, who am I? I'm just like Jesus. I'm just like God. I am kind, period. Do you know my spirit is always, 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 100% of the time, kind? No exceptions. Always kind. It's always merciful. All right, so here's a situation. It comes my way. Someone says something to me. Someone does something that's not kind. It's unlovely. It's maybe outright spitefully against me, intending to hurt me. Not even accident. They want to hurt me. I draw from my spirit man. And here's what I'm doing when I do this. I'm going to serve God from my spirit by doing what he has. God's already done the most incredible thing. He put his spirit inside of you. And he's like, there, now do that. Everything he needs to do, he's already done. We cry out to God, God, change me. God, make me more like you. And he's like, I did. Now just live out of that. I already gave you what you need. It's like he gives you a powerhouse, dynamo, puts it, installs it in the basement of your house, hooks up all the wiring throughout your house. You've got this, you got this thing down there that will light up L.A., but it's just for you. And then you sit up in your living room crying out, God, give me power. Power, I need power in my house. I need to cook breakfast this morning. I need to turn on my flat screen TV. God, give me power. And he says, I did. Use it. You know, flick the switch maybe. Plug in the TV. But that's an act of your will. What God has chosen not to do is to go around and plug in your TV for you. He's not turning on the gas stove for you. He's not, you know, turning on the light switches every time you go into a room for you. He says, turn on the light switch. It's an act of your will to flip the switch and use the power that's already in you. So here's the situation. Someone acts a certain way towards me. Someone does a certain thing towards me. And I have a choice to flip the switch and serve out of my spirit, or no, I'm just going to act out of my flesh. When I act out of my spirit, I traverse my mind, the pathways of my mind. I traverse the pathways of my mind with my spirit. And it carries this cleansing power with it. It creates a pathway of the spirit right through my mind. To act out of my spirit, I have to traverse the gate of my will. I bring the spirit through the gate of my will, and I cleanse my will with the spirit of God. To act out of my spirit, my emotions must submit to my spirit, and my spirit becomes the master of my emotions. I train my emotions. Every time I do it, I train my will and I train my mind. This is what it means. Those who are mature, those who partake of the solid food of God, are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What happens is your whole being immediately knows what's of the spirit and what's of the flesh, and it becomes just it's natural to act out of your spirit. After a while, you look just like Jesus. Everything you do, people do things to you. People will watch, be around you, and watch that coworker snap at you, and notice that your countenance didn't even change. The smile's the same. If anything, they watch you become more compassionate towards the person. Oh my gosh, what is it about that person? You can't even touch them. Wow. You know, someone snaps at them. Oh, precious. I'm so sorry. I don't know. Obviously, what I did just triggered that in you. Can I help you with that computer program problem you're having? I'm sorry. I understand why you're frustrated. You know, whatever. You know what I mean? They address it in like a compassionate way. If you happen to observe it, it would be transforming. You're like, wow, I would have ripped that person's head off if they did that to me. Yet, Bob was unbelievable in his response. Do you know how attractive that is? People want to know Bob. You'll find yourself finding a way to get around Bob and say, "Hey, man, what are you doing for lunch today? Let's hang out." You know? You want to be around Bob. You want to know him just exactly like you would want to be around Jesus if you saw him. If he was walking around, you'd be like, you know, you see him, how do I spend time with him? I got to be around this guy. He's incredible. And that's what would happen. If you read in the Gospels, everywhere he went, crowds wanted to be with him. Kids would flock to him. And you know, people would do all kinds of nasty things, say all kinds of nasty things to him. You know, the only people that Jesus got upset with, it wasn't the prostitutes. It wasn't the tax collectors. Exactly. It wasn't the people smoking joints on the side. It wasn't people using foul language. It wasn't any of the sinners that we tend to get judgmental and angry. That's not who got loving. That's not who he got angry with. He loved them. Loved them. Just loved them, loved them, loved them, loved them, loved them. It's all he ever did. It's all you'll ever see. Love, 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 love. Just loved them. Who did he get angry with? The self-righteous, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who said, "I have a relationship with God and I would not spend 1 minute with those sinners." Jesus says, "You don't represent me at all. You have no part in me. That's not me at all." And Jesus loved the sinner. Every time we act out of our spirit, we bring the spirit through. It has no choice. It will go through our soul and body in order to come out of us. Because it traverses the highways of your mind, thought process. You make a decision and you think it through and you say, "What would Jesus do? What does the word say?" And it goes through the thought process of your mind. You start cutting a groove. You cut a groove. You cut a groove every time you do it. And after a while, that thing becomes a rut. And it's a rut filled with the spirit and the life and the nature of God. And every time you do it, you have to bust through the gate of your will. You have to say yes to the spirit as an act of your will. And every time you do it, the spirit goes through the gate of your will, which is a part of your soul, and cleanses it of the corruption of the sin nature previous to knowing Christ. It cleanses it of it, makes it more submitted to the will of God. And every time you act out of your spirit, your emotions that want to just, the spirit of slap wants to come on them, your emotions have to bow to the spirit. And the spirit becomes the master, not the soul. The soul makes a great servant, but it makes a terrible master. God never intended your soul to be your master. It is supposed to be your servant. Your nature, the God nature, is to be your master. My time is up, but I feel like I'm not done. I want to share two examples with you. They're on me strong. I'm going to share them with you real quick if I can, because I believe you'll remember them. They're just right out of my personal life. One was like 15 years ago. One was about 5 days ago. One is good. One is not good. I know it might seem strange to you when I talk to you about dating and girlfriends because, you know, being your pastor, it's kind of like weird, right? I mean, there's not too many single pastors around. Like, personally, I don't even know one. So I know I'm kind of the odd man out as a single pastor, but the reality is, as a single man, I date, right? Occasionally, I'll have a girlfriend. It's been a long time, but many, many, many moons ago, I was dating this girl. I've been dating her for about a year, and we really cared for one another, but I was struggling, thinking there's just some issues there with her that made it so that I just really wasn't thinking I could marry this girl. Well, she knew that. You know, women pick up on that kind of thing. And so she was really struggling with it. And so in her way of handling that, she decided she would begin to form another secret relationship before she would make the decision to jump ship and break up with me so that she wouldn't be so hurt. She'd already have her net prepared with another relationship. I don't know this is going on. I'm thinking we love each other, so she's developing this relationship. And then I find out about it with one very nasty phone call. Calls me up and lays me to waste. And, you know, just very ungodly in her behavior. She's just acting out of hurt and just blah, 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 and just, you know, kind of waylays me on the phone. Well, I'm just like reeling. I mean, a couple days earlier, she's on my couch talking to me, crying, asking me if I ever thought that I was going to marry her. I'm struggling with it, trying to decide, is it possible that I could? And I get this phone call, you know, to heck with you, you know, you're never going to marry me, and I'm with Jim now. And I'm like, with Jim? What? Find out, you know, later that she's been dating him for like 2 months while dating me. So just, I want you to get the understanding of the hit. It was a total betrayal, really hurt. I'm reeling. The next day, I decide to go to Blockbusters to rent a movie just to try and get my mind is just, you know how it is. Your mind's just spinning. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm just hurting terribly. I go to Blockbusters. Guess who's in Blockbusters? With her arm around his waist and his around hers, and they're in Blockbusters. That means they're renting a movie to go home. They're not even going out to a movie theater. You know what I mean? All that starts going through your head. I'm just like, I was coming here to get relief, you know. This is not working out. And so I have an opportunity here. My mind's spinning. What do I do? Do I just leave because I want to get away from it? Do I go and just light her up? Do I say anything to her? What do I do? My mind's spinning. But thank God, I have been pressing in for years, walking with the Lord, letting my spirit flow through my flesh for years, trained, and I was like, I am not going to dishonor the Father, not for 1 second, or her, or anybody else. So I walked, I chose to walk up to them, and I said, would you mind if I spoke to her for a minute? I said to him, to Jim, you mind if I speak to her for a minute? And he was like, he didn't know who I am. And she's like, it's okay. And he goes, all right. I mean, you know, he's totally deceived too. He didn't know that she's been dating someone else. So I pulled her aside and I just said, hey, you know, why are you doing this? What's, you know, because I still don't know what's going on in her head. And she's like, oh, Brad, just get over it, whatever. Just get on with your life. She starts yelling like this really loud in Blockbusters, you know. And I just keep talking to her, trying to stay really calm, real nice and everything. She just starts ripping me up one side down, just yelling. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. I'm just trying to talk to you. Oh, just whatever. Yeah, but, you know, just going at it. And finally, I just had to walk away because, I mean, she was just like going nuts. So I left and I got home and I'm before God. And I'm just, my emotions are flying and I'm like, and I'm just trying to be honest with God. Like, you know, what's going on? I just want to talk to you. But I recognized one of my emotions that I was having right then. And I didn't like it, and I decided just to be really honest with God, because he knows anyhow. I said, you know what, God, you know what part of the hurt is right now? It wasn't before I got the Blockbusters. Now this is added on to my hurt. This is a new thing. I'm embarrassed. I'm just, there it is, God. I'm full on embarrassed because I'm thinking, I just let this, you know, she was a lot younger than I am. I'm like, I felt like I just let this young pipsqueak just ream me in the middle of Blockbusters, and I did nothing back. You know, I'm just getting, you know how you get mad after an argument, like, I should have said this and this and this and this, you know. But while I was there, I just wanted to be godly in my behavior with her. I'm not going there with her. I'm not going to return that. But afterwards, I started getting more in my flesh. And I was like, man, I should have just let her have it. I should have let her know how ungodly she's being, whatever. And I said to God, you know what, honestly, Lord, I'm embarrassed. The Lord spoke to me as clearly as I'm talking to you. And said, what are you embarrassed about? And I started thinking about it. And then he said, if you had acted like she did, you would have cause to be embarrassed. And what he was saying was, embarrassed before me. Not so much, it doesn't matter what other people think. He was saying, it was so beautiful. He goes, what are you embarrassed about? He was saying, well done. You acted just like my son in that situation. You have nothing to be embarrassed. Now, she has something to be embarrassed about, but you don't. If you had acted like she did, you would have cause to be embarrassed. Are you with me? 5 days ago, 6 days ago. I've been with Time Warner Cable for 20 years. Figured it up, I've paid them approximately $20,000. $20,000. And that makes me sick just to think about it. I call them up. I'm canceling because they continue to raise the rate. It's gotten ridiculous, and I'm just canceling. Well, I call them up, and they will not let me off the phone. They will not let me cancel. And I'm like, ma'am, I'm really not calling to talk to you about a different rate. I'm done. I'm just done. I've already tried to get you guys to lower my rate. You refused to do it. Now you're willing to do it when I say I'm canceling. Just on principle alone, that's not okay with me. Because I'd called them up. I had long conversations with them, trying to get them to lower my rate. She wouldn't, you know, well, what if we do this? We'll lower it $40 a month, you know. And I said, ma'am, you're not hearing me. I'm not interested in being with you guys anymore. Would you please just cancel my service? And then she starts saying, well, you're going to have to return our equipment, you know, blah, blah. And I said, what? And so I start getting, I'm like, I'm not taking your equipment anywhere. You need to come get your own equipment. And, I mean, now I'm fired up. She's starting to let me. She goes, well, we're going to charge you if you don't return our equipment to us. She starts getting nasty once she realizes she's not getting my business. And I got mad. And I said, listen. And I started lightening into her just a little bit. I mean, I didn't get really nasty, but I was like, I have been with you guys for 20 years. You should be thanking me for my business. If you want your equipment, you come get your equipment. And I just kind of started, you know, lightening into her. You know, it was only about 10 minutes after I got off the phone, man. I felt terrible about it. And now to this day, I wish so much there was some way to get a hold of that lady. I would love to call her back and just apologize for my behavior. It doesn't matter what they were doing. I should never have left kindness. Kindness should never have departed from me where something else came out of me. You know what I'm saying? That was a choice of my will. One, I'm walking in the spirit, and the other one was in the flesh. We have a choice every time a situation comes to walk in the Spirit. Now, if we do it consistently, we literally get transformed and we become more like God. Amen. Walking in the Spirit is the love walk. It's what God's called us to. Over and over and over, I intended to show you numerous scriptures today, but didn't get into them. But I mean, they're all over the Bible where the Bible tells us to walk in love. Ephesians, I think it's chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, as children of God, walk in love. Walk in love, right? This is what God's called us to with everyone. He put his love in you and in me. We have no excuse to not walk in love. That's who we are. We literally have to deny the nature of God and act out of our flesh. But I want to tell you, if you will walk by the Spirit and do it consistently, it's not an act of your will after a while. It becomes a part of who you are. It's your nature. It will take over. You will literally have to work against your nature to not walk in love after you've done it for a while consistently. The first time, that coworker that's been nasty to you for 3 years, and you finally decide to walk in the Spirit and say something really kind to them, the first time's the hardest. On a scale of 1 to 10, it may be a 10. The very second time, the second time you do it, it'll be like a 5. Watch, do it. You'll be so much easier to be kind to that person the second time than it was the first. Now, it's still a 5. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying there's not an effort. I'm not saying your flesh will still not want to flare up. It will. But notice it. Do it. It'll be a 5 compared to the 10 on the very first one. The next one is like a 4, and then a 3, and then a 2, and then a 1. And next thing you know, you're in a groove, man. I love this person. This is great. This is easy. Doesn't matter how they, you just, it'll transform you. It'll literally transform you. You'll be like Christ. You'll realize the power is on the inside of me. It's just been wanting to transform me all along. I just had to act out of my will, and then it happens. Our participation is an act of our will. God will transform you by his Spirit on the inside of you when you do it. Amen. Father God, thank you for this truth about your Spirit on the inside of us, that your nature is on the inside of us, there to transform our soul if we will just say yes to it. I believe very much the words that went forth today, this is the principal way that we say yes to God. It may seem like this is too small. We cry out for God. God, we're ready to step into the promised land. What God would say to us is good. walk according to my spirit. That's how you walk into the promised land. Walk according to my spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's how God leads us into the promised land. We are led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, Paul talks about the God whom he serves with his Spirit. That's how Paul served the Lord. That's how we serve the Lord, with our spirit. We say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh. Father, we thank you that we have the ability to walk just like Jesus. Father, I pray this seed would be planted deep within our heart, protected and sealed by your Spirit so that it would not be stolen, that it would bring forth a hundredfold return in the name of Jesus. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. See you next week. May your week be blessed of the Lord. Anyone who needs prayer for anything, please come up. I will be here to pray with you. Renee, my sister, will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, have a beautiful week. Glory.